Welcome one and all once again to Dual Worlds in episode 62. This week we have a jam-packed show, I would imagine. Most of it's going to be centered around EA, BioWare, Mass Effect, and its community. But before we get there, let's introduce our annual chaotic travelers. Joining us from the end of the drunk, we have Chad. Are you not speaking?
I actually prefer the term jelly-filled instead of jam-packed.
Why does that matter to you?
It's important to make the distinction. Exactly.
I've never really used that expression before, though.
What?
Jelly-filled.
Really? What the fuck do you call your donuts that have jelly in them?
Jelly donuts.
You're weird.
Jelly infused. That's what they call it.
Wait, we're not talking about donuts here. We have, from the hands of Doctor Who, Daniel.
Even though I don't watch Doctor Who?
Which is a crime against humanity.
I just find it not good.
We find you not good. We have Martin, who I am told I cannot offend this week because he's already threatened to kill me once. So.
What? I did?
Yes. When I was talking about you, you were talking about going to see stand-up this week. And from the end of Sunshine and Raisins, we have Jason.
Yeah, it's actually been windy and rainy here this weekend. But
then you'd really need to exchange for this because we've had a really nice weekend. It's been in the high 60s, low 70s, it's been sunny.
Oh, I mean, it's still like in the high 60s and low 70s.
Yeah, but we've had, no we've had one snow day this entire winter, which has been awful.
See, so, when it rains here, it's so rarely that it's kind of welcome. It's just like, oh nice, it's raining today.
Yeah.
But anyway, video games.
Yes, we're not talking donuts, we're not talking weather, we're not talking Who we're talking video games, and
so we are still talking about killing each other. Yes.
We're still talking about for the most part, but we're gonna
each other. I thought it was all pretty much focused on Earl.
Hey.
Oh, right, right.
Well,
sure,
this is, we're gonna switch it up a bit just because we do have a lot of news to get through first, and then whatever time we have left, we'll talk about what people have been saying, which isn't much according to the pre-game. Talk. It's like 50-year-old games at this point, but
I finished two games this week, thank you very much.
Both of them in the same universe.
You finished more games this week than I
allegedly,
did last year.
Allegedly in the same universe.
Well, one's called Mass Effect 3 and the other one's called Mass Effect Infiltrator. I mean, it's kind
yeah,
of
but one
Jason,
is
Jason just wants
universe.
To pretend that one of them doesn't exist by the sounds of it.
Not
now,
that it doesn't
that,
exist,
though.
Just that it doesn't contribute.
So it's a lot like you.
Ouch. Anyhow, that's not so personal attacks here. We have news to cover. And it would see it. We're going to save the Mass Effect stuff for the end so we can transition to Jason saying that as well. This has probably been the worst kept secret or reveal in history. Because I believe Epic Mickey's technically supposed to be revealed this week on GTTV. And then I think it's the cover story or it's something in Game Informer the week after. No, Disney's having a press event. I think it's March 27th to actually reveal the game. But Warren Spector has kind of gone out there and given out all the major details on this game. One, it's a multi-platform game, which I'm sure would make a lot of people happy. It has co-op this time. They said they're fixing the camera, which was my biggest offense with the game. And I think it has a staff. They said that there's about 700 people working on this game worldwide.
Wait, are they trying to outstaff Ubisoft?
I believe somebody said that this has a bigger staff than Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty.
Which is crazy. Wait,
wasn't the last Epic Mickey, like, the developer hit with layoffs?
The developers were, but I don't think Junction Point was. I think that whole branch like Disney's Entertainment kind of got ate up.
Yeah, it's a different studio.
Yeah. But I also think that when they say 700 people, it might not necessarily be 700 developers. Cause
but it would be publishing staff and testers and...
It's not even that either. It's like
No. The guys who they outsource stuff to, like making I don't know, some models.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
It's like those people who say they have 9,001 Facebook friends, but only talk to like six of them.
Yeah. Because
I have six people that will talk to me.
And four of them are here today.
It's funny because it's true.
I was going to say that if it's like the first Epic Mickey, you also have to consider the people who are in Disney who are probably helping to gather resources and stuff. Because a lot of Epic Mickeys, like everything in Epic Mickey was taken from the Disney vault. So I assume they have people who go through that for him and like bring up stuff that's suitable for this environment or that environment. So, it might be 700 people who are contributing to the game, but I doubt it's 700 people working directly on this title.
Yeah.
Especially
the staff for the main game is probably still pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, he said it did well, but I know it did decently. I think it crossed two million in the States alone, which is decent, but that was also like the first month, and then it just fell like a brick. So
yeah. I have not heard of it being a big success, and I don't even know anyone who played it.
I played it.
Yeah, I don't really know you.
But I'm just saying that I faded and I hated the camera in that game. And it was partially because I'm a huge Disney fan and he was saying all the right things. And then the game itself isn't bad. It does need some work. But the camera, if you have a terrible camera in a platform, it defeats the purpose of your game.
Yeah.
You can't see the jumps, or if you can't really, do the facial for a jump, it's not. It breaks the entire game for you.
He also, I remember Warren Spector talking about a lot of interesting stuff, and before the game was out, a lot of people were talking about like, oh man, will this be the Deus Ex of Disney games? Stuff like that, and well, it wasn't really.
No, it wasn't. But I also thought it had an interesting, not necessarily a morality system, but I like that the choices weren't black and white, that they don't really tell you, like, what's a good or bad decision, and you don't necessarily know because, even though it might pay out differently, it still kind of pays out in ways that could be beneficial to you, depending on what side you choose.
Yeah.
So I always thought that was a nifty idea. It's just that the core game needed some work. It is that. Is anybody excited for Epic Mickey 2?
No. Not, it's not my kind of thing. I don't do platforming games.
But it's Disney.
I don't do Disney either.
Well, you have no heart.
If it was Pixar,
I'd
be more inclined.
What
do you expect?
I hear there's a whole kingdom full of those somewhere, though.
But yes, that's, I guess Disney's Epic Mickey, Epicer Mickey,
Yeah. I don't know about the game. I'm kind of interested if they fix the problems with the first game and maybe go more into the art direction with the artwork we got before we actually saw the first title. I don't know if you still remember.
Oh, I remember
stuff.
That. I don't.
That looked really cool, but I kind of doubt that they will go in that direction.
Yeah, I doubt it. I don't really think that's... I mean, if anything, I assume it would just look like Epic Mickey all over again.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit nicer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first game looked nice in general, I thought. It had a very interesting style because it had that whole paint aesthetic to it. So it had... And, a lot of the places, locations were based on actual Disney locations, so it had that for it as well. But we shall see what they do with this sequel. I don't know why this is here, honestly. I was just looking through news, and I didn't. Like, we've added a bunch of stuff since then, but word came out this week that, Metal Gear Solid, or the Metal Gear franchise, has sold 31 million worldwide since its debut in 1987.
Woo!
Yeah.
Surprise, the world's best franchise has sold a lot of copies.
It's debatable.
No, it's not. Well, shut up.
Yeah, I love Metal Gear Solid, so I'm fine with it.
There's been a lot of successful games in that series, so...
Yeah, let's say more in the fence that that's, you know, because $31 million across, what is it, 7 games?
More than that, I think.
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, I assume it counts like acid and portable.
Do Metal Gear really, Metal Gear 1 and 2 really count, though? Because
they're
part of the franchise.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they sold like 12 copies each, so.
Exactly. They weren't exactly million sellers.
No, but yeah, and then you have the re-releases and the remakes and stuff like that, so. I mean, it's a decent enough number. Just to kind of throw salt in the wounds, I mean, if you think Mario Kart Wii has sold more than the entire franchise, to put it in perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, surprised that it's only sold 31 million, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a lot more than franchises, you know, modern franchises that have had less games. So
right. No, I mean, it's a very respectable number.
Yeah, just to say, I think what's the cause probably kills on its tail by now, too. Assassin's Creed is probably up there. And that's what, 4 games in?
Yeah.
Because you have a bunch of portable games.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There's the Bloodlines and.
But do the portable games do anywhere close to that?
No, they don't. Well, one of them was a PSP game, let's put it that way.
They're on a bunch of platforms. They're on, 2 of them are on iOS now, too, so that. I mean, you never know. When a game's like $3. Sure, you could get a million sales.
Yeah, but I always feel like that's cheating. Like with Angry Birds, where you say like we have like a billion sales, and like 95% of the people don't pay for it. It's not really sales at that point.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they won't call it that. And
oh no, they really, that's
kind of different too, because it's free versus cheap.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like there's a lot, and like it's hard to say because. Okay, this is not here on there. We'll move on. And I guess at the end of the industry, we've had a lot of Obsidian stuff this week where a lot of people got laid off. Did they ever give out an exact number?
Not sure. 30? I think 30?
Well, it doesn't really matter, to be honest. It's layoffs are layoffs, regardless.
Yeah, well,
the circumstances,
what led
the circumstances is what the most tragic thing about this entire situation. And
before we get there, like you said, layoffs are layoffs. But the fact that I think they said one of the people who got laid off got the job the day before, that was really depressing to me. Because you've been hunting for a job, you finally get one, and like you go there the first day, like, don't come back tomorrow. That has to be a huge blow to your ego.
Well, I mean, it's just a reality check, really, of the industry.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, I guess they didn't know, because I guess we can talk about this now, because the project that really caused this was that they were working on a next-gen project for Microsoft, and Microsoft canned the game after 7 months in development, and this is why they had to go over people.
Well, and that they didn't get bonuses from Fallout New Vegas because they missed the Metacritic bonus mark by
one point.
And not bonus, but royalties of any kind. They didn't get paid any royalties for that.
That is some bullshit.
Fallout New Vegas, the problem I have is that Fallout New Vegas sold really well. So,
and this is the point, is you can make a game that got an average of 1 on Metacritic. If you got 100 million sales, that's a successful game.
There's some guys sitting in a really, really big office on top of some really, really big building saying,
grinning.
Fuck, guys, we dodged a bullet on that one. We almost had to pay them money.
You see, I understand why people feel bad about it, but at the same hand, if you make a contract like that and you know the rules of it, would you say the same thing if somebody misses the commission because they didn't have that one extra sale in a week?
Well, I mean, it's just... That's true, but it's just kind of the reality of the way these contracts are structured sometimes, where who knows if they had a choice.
Performance incentives to a rating rather than a sales figure is completely ridiculous anyway. Because at the end of the day, they don't care what it's rated, they care how much money they get.
Right, and I just think, kind of related to that too, is just like, the bonus is a money thing, right? If you're paying royalties, that's a financial thing. So shouldn't it be tied to financial success?
Again, it should be, but this is the contract that they signed. And I understand that maybe they didn't have a choice. Maybe they really wanted to make this game or whatever. They needed the income to keep the company running. But you do know what you sign up for, and it does suck, and it's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing to do about it. It's like they agree to it.
Right, and I'm not saying anything should necessarily be done about it. I'm just saying it like kind of brings to light some really
all it takes is one asshole who reviewed a game that gets counted by Metacritic to go.
Yeah.
30
it's
out of
really,
100.
It's sad more than anything. Like.
Okay, but I think, you know, this speaks to a larger issue, and it's something we'll get to in a bit. But yes, I do think that this industry, and I think a lot of industries, are too dependent on reviews. Because, yeah, it's a very subjective field. We haven't really had any... I don't think there's any system in place, or has been a system in place, that can fairly review video games across the field. Everybody has...
And everyone has their own scale, too. We don't even have a number scale for ours.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, and I've heard it, Giant Bomb says it, 1UP says it, is that, you know, like, just because they give a certain score, it doesn't translate well to Metacritic, so that's another thing that can throw it off. And that would be a bummer if they say, if 1UP gave it like a B, and I think Metacritic gives a B, like an 83 or something like that, when they intended it to be like an 87, and that's the one point they missed out on, that would kind of suck. But, you know, that's something that... It's something that everybody seems to have an issue with, but it's not something that's going to go away with. And it's something that came out this week, because I don't know if any of you saw that video. I forget who posted it. About, like, I think it's called Video Game Reviews. Con Men or... I forget what it's called. Oh, Critics or Con Men. Game is Adverse Situation.
Yeah, I saw that.
And yeah, and a part of it is, like, you know... A lot of the video game press are enthusiastic fans, and they kind of have that hype bubble that a lot of fans go through. But I think a part of it is also the fact that a lot of people get, you know, a lot of fans are invested into these games, and when you don't review it how they want it to be seen, they get angry at you. So a lot of it is that consumers are mad at reviews, but they view these high reviews, because if it reviews so, then they're upset because they didn't do as well as they wanted it to do. So it's a vicious cycle all around. But, yes, it sucks to be them. I actually did like Alpha Protocol. I would like to see a part two.
Eh.
Well, I guess that makes one of us.
It would be cool, but it's kind of a long shot.
Yeah, you know, it's a huge long shot to let them go with people. I don't even know what they have in development now.
I mean, just...
South Park.
Oh, South Park.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be made because THQ is in financial trouble.
No, I think... Isn't that supposed to come out in, like, May?
Is it coming out in May?
No.
I thought it was just later on in this year.
But this year, so it should be safe.
Yeah, I don't think it's... Yeah,
they showed it off at GDC, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
it's coming out in May. It's coming out in Q4.
That's what they say. They haven't even had a trailer for it yet. The only people I know who announce games that quickly and release them on Nintendo.
Nintendo, yeah.
But and we see how well it works out for them.
Yeah, so
it
so
works out for them really well.
I know, that's the joke.
Well,
as long
sometimes.
As the game is coming out this year, it should be safe. THQ has at least that much money.
I feel yeah. Sick. I could have swore, like, I've heard a lot of people say that it kind of runs out around Darksiders 2, and that might be their last major venture.
I don't think so. They should have enough money to run at least for a year.
And, you know, if a game is scheduled to come out in Q4, and let's say THQ somehow shuts down in summer, the game's so close to being finished,
someone's
it's so low risk for a different publisher. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll one way or another, it'll make it. Anything that's scheduled for this year will probably make it.
I mean, it might as well. Sony announced Ratchet & Clank HD Collection, I think for May 18th or 16th.
To be honest, that was going to happen.
Yeah, they already did Jack, they did Shy. it was the only platforming franchise they had Jeff that they could do. But I meant platforming franchise, they did the big three, because it's sad if this is the only one that actually had an entry this generation so far. I think Shy 4 is coming out whenever that's out, but... Yeah, I'm actually excited for this. I actually haven't played the originals. I've only played the ones on the PS3. don't.
I've played all these games, so I don't really care.
I don't mind collections. The HD collections have been weird from Sony. Because the only people who care about them are people who already played the games.
Not always true.
I don't know.
It's not necessarily always true, but I mean,
most of the time,
the most popular console last generation by a huge margin. So it's easy to say that a lot of people had it, and if they were interested in these games. But like I said, I like the idea of HD collections. I think they should be used kind of like box sets and for DVDs and movies, where like if Ratchet and Clank was coming out, you kind of bundle the three and put them out instead of this, which is kind of an on to itself. There's no Ratchet and Clank game around it.
And the second they stop making money selling them by themselves, they'll do that instead. But
yeah,
as long as people are buying it, then they'll
it's easy money for them. It's a game that they don't have to. Like, I mean, for the most part, it's just up-res. It's not usually reworking the textures of the game or anything. So,
yep,
easy. Somebody mentioned Wasteland 2, or as Chad pointed out, Wasted Land 2.
That was me. Wasteland 2 is apparently being made. It is just like the Double Fine Adventure Kickstarter project, headed by Brian Fargo and Exile. Brian Fargo actually made the original Wasteland in 1988, and it's a traditional turn-based tactical RPG with lots of moral decisions, so it's a great project. They already have like 1.3 million on Kickstarter.
They surpassed their goal of 900,000.
Yeah, they're past their goal, there's still 29 days to go, and I think it's a great project, and I think more people should back it, because it means the game will only get bigger and more platforms will get it as well.
And we end up with their situations like Obsidian.
Yeah. And actually, if this game succeeds, I think we have a good chance that maybe Chris Avellone from Obsidian will maybe go forward with his project for Kickstarter.
The problem is... The problem with that is now that Double Fine have... Double Fine made a lot of money, and Wasteland 2 is making a lot of money as well. I'm afraid that a lot of people will start looking to Kickstarter as an ATM, when that's the problem, is it's not an ATM in the slightest. The only reason why Double Fine and Wasteland 2 have got as much money as they have so quickly is because they've got names behind them. Because obviously Double Fine has Ron Gilbert and Tim Schafer, and we've got Brian Fargo for Wasteland 2, and this is the problem. Is a lot of indies are going, I'll just fund my game through Kickstarter, but it's not that easy, because obviously you don't have somebody like Tim Schafer or Ron Gilbert, and at the moment, it's nice to see all these games come back, and obviously there's interest for them, because people are funding them, but... I can only see in the long run that people are going to say, Kickstarter is just an ATM, I'm going to get all the money I need instantly from this game. And, soon enough, I'm just afraid to see that we're going to have a lot of these Kickstarter projects just fail, because people are just going to be burnt out on them.
Well, let's just look at some of the projects. A lot of indie projects actually do work, because the funding is not that high. But let's look at, there's one project who's basically trying to get his funding because of the Double Fine success. It's some guy who wants to make a hardcore tactical shooter. And
was that the one who said that tactical shooters are too hardcore for consoles?
Isn't he the Ghost Recon designer guy?
Exactly. He worked on both games, and he wants like 200,000, but his project has basically no vision, and he wants funding to basically get more funding from other guys, and this project is not going to succeed as much.
That's what I was worried about. It's like when you have the first project that people back, that kind of hit the reality of the gaming industry, where they have to somehow go back and ask for more money, or the game doesn't come out. Like, are you going to refund everybody who donated, or is it just a lost project?
I think the way Kickstarter works, that, you know, if you get the money you ask for, then you get, obviously you get the money, but not otherwise. But if you need to, if you find out you need more money, then, like, later on, then you're screwed, because
you need to plan better.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like, that's what happens in the gaming industry, is you plan, and you hit a hiccup or something, and that's why games are...
But that's the thing. Guys like Brian Fargo, I kind of trust. He's the one who's responsible that Interplay existed. He was the lead on multiple studios, and In Exile is not like a new studio. They've been around for a while. I can trust them. I can give them money.
Not only that, we're going to come a time where somebody, you know, people are going to say, well, I've already paid for like 5 of these games through Kickstarter, and I haven't gotten any of them yet. Why should I pay for more?
And how many indie developers do people actually trust? Because a lot of the names people know are usually associated with big brands and big companies. I'm sure there are others that they can find, but after a while, you're just going to run out of stuff. And I know that some people support genres, but that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, yeah, we're going to make an old school pen and paper RPG for the Steam. So do you want to give us money? Like, and that's going to be their pitch. And some people might support that.
I have seen one indie project which I think did pretty well for itself, but they didn't need much money. They just needed $10,000, and it's called FTL, and it's basically like a space dungeon crawler thing. So what they did is they demonstrated the game and at like independent games festivals, won prizes there, and they have a demo version which people can try out. That's a great way to let people see that you can actually do something, that your game is actually worth some money, and that you will probably be able to actually finish this project. So, I don't know. I think there are ways for even indie developers to...
As long as they're not all expecting to be getting millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Of course.
They have to, you know, it's...
They have to work their way up.
Yeah.
And I still want to see the day when a major publisher decides, like, oh, this is how we're going to fund Mirror's Edge 2 if you want to see it, so give EA money.
I can tell you that I would not give my money to one of the big publishers.
No, I don't think many people would, but I want to see when they use that. Because it's a way to alleviate costs from themselves and still make double the profit, because they're going to get it on the back end as well.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Another great idea from God knows who, it's not April Fool's yet, but the announcement of a Neo Geo Pocket Neo Geo X?
Neo Geo X, yeah.
Which is, I think, it's 500 euros or pounds. Which roughly translates to, I think they said something like $730. It comes pre-installed with, I think, 14 games and an SD card set.
Craziness.
I mean, because Sony couldn't sell a console at $600.
Yeah.
You're going to sell a handheld at $150 more than that.
And just looking at it, it looks like some very cheap Chinese... I don't know...
Sorry, I'll just go and buy an iPad instead.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm not even a fan of that one, and I would still rather buy an iPad.
Yeah, I don't know what the market is for this, except if it's really just like eccentric people who want everything in their video game collection, which I can't imagine is a huge market.
You know, I actually was excited when I first heard about this thing, because I love the Neo Geo. It would be great to have a little thing with me, with all the games running perfectly on it, but I would probably pay like $100 at most.
Yeah, it's like one of those, like, sometimes they have like those games that gets pre-installed by Nintendo software and stuff, and I know Nintendo hates those things. But you usually go to a mall, you get them for like $50, it has like Mario, Zelda, and some other Nintendo games on it. That's decent. $700 for a console that has, as far as I know, it's emulated, right? Old Neo Geo games, or does it have new games?
No, it's the old Neo Geo titles from
the
90s. or whatever. Yeah.
So you're basically paying $700 for a very fancy emulator.
So I'll go out and buy a PSP for £50 and then run Homebrew on it.
Exactly.
Or use my Android phone.
Yeah.
Or your iPhone. I think you can actually buy some of the ports for it. So.
Yeah, it's there. I'm sure.
Wait, hang on. The PSP has SNK titles and stuff on it already.
I think SNK. Yeah,
of course. Actually, all the games that come with this thing are on the first SNK collection.
Yeah.
Which you can probably buy at your local GameStop or whatever for $4 or $5.
Somebody really did not think this.
I think they don't expect it to be huge. They probably assume it's going to be like a collector's item worth like a very select few. Like, I mean, if you have a product that you need to sell like 100 copies to break even, I mean, it can't be that many.
The thing is, if it was for Shiba, I could see this actually doing quite well. There are enough Neo Geo fanboys, I guess.
Is there really? I mean, Neo Geo has to be at the bottom. I mean, like, I can see if this is like a Dreamcast type situation or, you know, Sega.
It kind of is. There are still people developing Neo Geo games.
Yeah. Speaking of Sega, this week was the launch of Game Gear games on the Virtual Console on the eShop for the 3DS. A lot of ons in that statement. And I think it's the first console that on the Virtual Console that has flexible pricing. Because for the most part, Nintendo has done like $5 for Nintendo games. I think sort of $8 for Super Nintendo Genesis games, and $10 for Nintendo 64. Game Boy games were I think $5. These games range from $3 to $5 so far. It's Sonic, Shinobi, and something else that I'm not knowing off the top of my head.
I'm not sure either. But I was never a big fan of the Game Gear. I have really a tough time actually thinking about games I would like to play on it.
Well, I mean, part of the Game Gear problem was that it ate batteries like nobody's business.
Yeah, that as well.
It was 6 AAA and AA batteries, which is insane to think about.
Yeah.
And that thing lasted like an hour and a half, so nobody ever had. I had a Nomad, though.
That thing was cool.
Yeah, the idea of a Nomad's always been awesome. I never got why people haven't tried that again. I guess it didn't do that well, but... I mean, I guess that's what the Vita is now.
Kind of.
Not intentionally, but... Yes. Some people mentioned some Diablo 3 type... I don't know what this game is. Get in a release.
I've never heard of it.
Must be an indie game.
Yeah.
Probably.
I heard it's by, like, Thunderstorm or something. Or Hurricane, is the name of that developer.
Anyway, some game that people are hyping up, I've never heard of it. Some company I've never heard of.
It's a tool, training tool, basically, to build up strength in your index finger.
But yes, it has a release date of May 15th. I believe Martin already has it installed on his computer.
No, I don't have it installed. I have a folder with installation files in it on my computer.
So he's just waiting for that 2 months where he can actually open it and start playing.
Exactly.
So he's one of those people.
I love Diablo. I can't wait for it to destroy my social life again.
That's the attitude.
Blizzard's really good at making games that do that.
And write it to itself once. You won't be seeing me for a couple of months. Don't worry, I'm okay.
Thank God they're releasing it after the semester ends, is all I can say.
So yes, there's that. I'm sure it will do well with its crowd, which is huge.
It will do incredibly, incredibly well. There's no doubt about that.
So, yes, that's that. We'll come back in like 2 months with Martin, if we can find him. I'm sure it's going to be a chat in StarCraft 2. Or maybe worse.
There's no, like, gameplay clock or anything associated with StarCraft, but taking the average length of a game combined with the number of games that I've played, I feel really bad about that number.
As well you should. As well you should.
Oh, man. I don't want to be you once Heart of the Swarm is out.
Oh, man. Once Heart of the Swarm beta comes out, I'm disappearing. You're never going to see me again.
All you do, he's all you're going to come out to get booze.
Yeah. No, you can get that shit delivered, bro.
Can you? It's never... Oh, I guess you can. I've just never thought if that made sense. But yes, and finally, I think EA has come out saying that they are considering online, well, I guess a subscription model for Battlefield going forward.
Yeah, what I was thinking when I heard this that a lot of people, if it's really like pay monthly to play our game, then a lot of people will say, fuck this, and go play Call of Duty.
It's probably going to be the Call of Duty sort of thing where you push out more DLC and you pay the subscription, you get the DLC.
Yeah, if that's the deal they are going for, then I guess it's all right, because I think if you do the numbers, I think you get actually out cheaper with the monthly fee than buying all the DLC in Call of Duty, so I guess that's all right.
Well, I mean, we shall see. I mean, this is a times off. I guess they assume that since Battlefield 3 did so well, they can start abusing the user base. Usually people wait until the third game to do that, right, EA?
Yeah. I think what it comes down to is they're looking to move the first-person shooter genre forward. So this entire thing is just them doing research and development into, like, a foot-shooting simulator.
Oh yeah, you've already gotten that down, so you know.
And that brings us to the big news of the week, which has been this whole situation surrounding EA, BioWare, Mass Effect 3, its fans, critics, journalists, like the entire video game community has been swept up in this storm at some point.
Except for the people who don't give a shit about Mass Effect. What up?
Which is a very small minority, apparently, because I've seen, if you have the people, okay, I guess to go back to the beginning, we mentioned this last week when Martin was talking about his impression, is that the ending of Mass Effect 3 leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
And not just the content, but also how it's implemented in the whole gameplay and how the Mass Effect series is supposed to work.
Yeah. And it's a lot of people, I mean, usually when people have issues with that end and they complain about it and stuff like that, but the fan base has gone a little bit further than that, and I think there was a petition that there's a petition started last week.
Yeah, because fuck your artistic integrity. We get what we want.
We'll get to that in a second, but it was basically fans demanding BioWare changed the ending of Mass Effect 3, or, you know, doing some type of DLC with a new and proper ending. And out of that, we had several camps that popped up. There was, of course, the camp that supported the petition. There was a camp, Make Chad, who's like, you know, you can't tell BioWare what to do with their game. There was the camp who's like, just shut up. And then there was the video game media, which I throw you off in this entire situation. And was my favorite part to watch this week.
Hey, you forgot one camp that I am in. Fuck this, I'm not giving them any more money.
Oh, yeah. And there's also another camp that I think is a very vocal minority. Is the camp that has an issue with the ending, but they aren't going batshit and crazy about it.
Hi, that's me.
Like, yeah, I don't like this ending, but what can you do? And that's, you know, that's a fair attitude.
It's
but yeah,
only rational.
I think what they're doing is also rational, but we'll get to that in a bit. I just wanted to touch on this first, because this is the part that really pissed me off and really... I mean, not that I have a lot of respect for anybody in the gaming industry to begin with, but some of the behaviors of some of the media has been awful.
Name? Greg Miller, IGN?
There was a lot of people. IGN had a video which basically said, fuck off to the fans. There was a guy from The Fox, which I don't even think is live yet, who called everybody complaining about this a bunch of fucking whining babies. There were people, and this is another thing that comes out, is that apparently a lot of people in video games don't know how to make analogies work properly. I've seen everything from, I think he was the one who used the example of like an artist who creates a CD that has like a bonus track.
Wait, has Phil Fish said anything about this yet? I want to hear what Phil Fish has to say.
Phil Fish is still really fighting with Giant Bomb for the fact that they made fun of him because he hadn't released the game yet.
should go and ask Phil Fish on Twitter.
Yeah, but I understand that it's kind of hard to be neutral, but I think the role of a journalist is not to take sides in any debate. Like, you should see both sides and present a fair argument, not say, you know, these people are a bunch of whining babies. BioWare did this game, now shut up and accept what they did. And I
unless
think
it's an editorial.
It wasn't, I mean, I understand.
No, I'm not saying this one, but
even if it was an editorial, I still don't think you should do that. You don't insult your audience.
Well,
the gaming industry
isn't
your audience. they're the people you cover. Yeah. Your fans are your audience, and going out of your way to insult them. And the gaming industry does this time and time again. And this is why I really don't follow anybody in the industry. It's because they have this thing where like, their fans are a bunch of idiots, and they treat them like such. It, you know, like there are ways
a lot
to
of
handle.
Fans
it.
Are idiots.
I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny that people are idiots, but to kind of like jump everybody together and like go on your high horse and talk down to your audience is never a good idea. It's the same way that I think people who say, like, you know, but if you have a problem with it, don't buy this game, don't support them, miss the point. Because if you tell a bunch of people not to support this, after a while you're going to have nobody buying your product.
Well, not only that is, you know, let's say I am a fan of the Mass Effect universe, which is incredibly likely. So let's say I don't want to be spoiled about how the game ends, which is incredibly likely. You know,
yeah.
If I buy the game because I'm a fan of the series and then find out and then I'm annoyed, then what can you do? I've already given EA my money and I can't read minds, I can't see the future, and I explicitly didn't want...
That was actually... somebody actually said that, and I thought that was funny. Somebody's like, if you don't like the story, if you don't like the ending, don't buy the game. And I'm just thinking to myself, how do you know you don't like the ending until you play the game and beat it? And, yeah, it's that type of behavior where they're just like, oh, you know what, these people are a bunch of idiots.
It just turned out to be coincidence for me, because I decided I wasn't going to buy the game because of other stuff that happened regarding Mass Effect 3.
But
to then find out that the ending sucks... Well, let's put it this way. As a famous author named Arthur Conan Doyle, he killed Sherlock Holmes, and people were unhappy with it, and he went, oh, okay, I'll change it back. He doesn't die. So, you know...
Yeah, and that was the other thing that came out, is a lot of people were like, oh, you don't see people complain about movies and TV show endings. People do that all the time.
Yeah,
but they don't...
Lost.
They don't... Okay, here's another thing that came out this weekend that we didn't mention yet. Somebody filed an FTC claim against BioWare.
Okay, I was
going to
get there. That's insane.
Yeah, that is...
That's like the culmination of all of this, where it's just like, are you kidding? Like, what... Like, this is somebody's... creation. Like, we can disagree with what it is, but to demand that they change it is breaking this like artistic contract we have with them. As we don't have any right to consume their art if we're gonna make comments like that. Like, that's their thing. We cannot like it, but like,
I'm gonna disagree with that completely, and I've disagreed with this all week. Is that if you buy a product, I think you have every right to complain about any part of it that you want. And I think you have, if they want to say, you know what, I didn't like this, and then I want something different, they have that right. If BioWare has the option to say, you know what, we don't care what your opinions are, we're going to stick it this way.
But that's not what it's about. It's not that they don't care what our opinions are. It's that they already finished their story.
No, and that's what I mean. It's that I think anybody who's bought the game, I think, you know, people like me who haven't, I understand. I have no say in this. I don't know the ending, to be honest. I have no say. But... the idea that people who bought this game shouldn't speak up because they had an issue with the ending, I think it's stupid.
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't
speak
up.
They can speak up and say they don't like it, but not say you better change it or else.
Why not?
Make petitions,
because...
file FTC claims, like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's embarrassing.
Okay, I'll go with the FTC claim. I think that's ridiculous, partially because that takes up assets outside of gaming for no reason whatsoever, and there's really no leg to stand on. But I don't see what a big deal about starting a petition. It's to show that like, there are other people who support this notion.
Which is inherently ridiculous.
Yeah. And, okay.
Can I say what also BioWare has been saying while this has been going on? There have also been guys from BioWare saying stuff like, yeah, yeah, we are listening, we're thinking about stuff, maybe future DLC, dropping hints like the might be DLC, which will actually change the ending or go further or something like that, which actually makes it sound even more stupid. Like, yeah, we knew our ending is shit, but you are going to buy more stuff anyway.
Yeah. I think, I think Forbes had the best coverage of this week, and they came out with a simple solution, is that you offer an alternate ending for people who want one, and people who enjoyed it, and I honestly don't know many people who enjoyed this ending, can have theirs. It's no different than a DVD or a movie that has alternate endings on it. So there's that. But yeah, this is something that I wanted to talk about, because I see this word used all the time and it drives me nuts, is entitlement.
Yeah.
And everybody uses it in such a negative way. Like, gamers aren't entitled to speak up or demand this of BioWare. Why not? It's your audience. If you do not appease them, you won't have a BioWare in the future.
Here's a comment that I pointed out on Reddit the other day, and Trevor responded to this, that if I buy a product and I'm not happy with it and I complain about it, that's fine, but as soon as that product is revealed to be a video game, all of a sudden I'm entitled.
Yeah. Going
back... that way with any art form, though.
It's
not a quality issue. It's a completely artistic issue. It's, I don't like the way you ended this, so I want it different because that's what I want. That's what it strikes me as. I haven't played it. I haven't seen the end. Maybe it's a fucking tragedy.
There's an entire movement of people who do this in the film community. There's an entire edit of the Star Wars new trilogy because people didn't like that. Do you have issues with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Because
just, it's his movie. Let him do whatever the fuck he wants with it. It's his vision.
People came to that series in the first place
because they agreed with his vision.
And they don't agree with it now. I'm not necessarily saying we make 3 movies, but I am saying I have no problem with the fans asking that, you know, like, this doesn't make sense, we want this changed. And the other thing, and I think this is the biggest problem with Mass Effect 3 ending from what I've heard, is like, a lot of people said that for a franchise that's built on players' choices, that at the end of the game, none of it matters.
Especially the effective military readiness. I watched the entire thing on YouTube because I was interested. I didn't want to give EA my money. Everybody was making a big fuss over this. The game gives you this bar, and it's like, this is how ready you are for the Reapers and stuff, and it changes one tiny thing in one of the endings. And he's just like, why is it there?
Well, it was a way to kind of tie in multiplayer with single player, even though you can do it. I think you can do it in single player.
But again, these are issues with the ending itself. Like,
How is that? I mean, okay. The whole idea is that there was.
Like,
I mean,
these are problems that we have with how BioWare executed the ending.
Yes.
From a standpoint of, like, if we were in the creator's seat, we would do something different. But
oh, here's another thing, though.
They also sold to us Mass Effect 3 as this game which will end upon whatever decisions we made before.
And not only that, BioWare have already sort of demonstrated that they care about what fans think about the lore, because remember that book that released not so long ago that people picked apart and they said, oh, okay, we'll change it. We'll change it. It's not a problem. We'll change it. We'll fix it.
Well, that's because those are factual inaccuracies. It's not a...
How can you have factual inaccuracies within a lore? It's his lore. He can do whatever he wants with it.
Like, they go against things which had previously already been established.
Yeah, that was the issue with the book.
That's
it's
how you can
totally
have factual
different.
Inaccuracies in lore.
But not all of it is factual inaccuracies.
Yeah,
they really picked apart. They've really picked apart, and it just menial things.
And they picked
gone,
apart the
no,
that
that's
contradicted what established, though. That's what he's saying. like, everything that they picked apart was stuff that went against stuff already established in the Mass Effect universe. It wasn't just, oh, we think this is dumb, so we're putting it
well,
on
in that
list.
Case, they've already established in the Mass Effect games that choices are important. And then they went and just fucked that, said fuck that for the end. We've decided
no,
that
you know
this
what,
is going
to in both of the last two games, you had the same choices at the end, too. Like, let's give BioWare a little bit of credit here. Nobody has done what they tried to do with this game.
Yeah, but
if they fucked
in
up,
the, in
that's
the
okay.
End of
they're
Mass Effect
the first
two,
ones that are
and I think there's a reason people don't do that. And
because
I think
it's revolutionary.
I think
it's never been done before. Yeah, they fucked it up, but like you can't expect the first try to be perfect. Like
it's not the
you
first
can expect
try.
To be good. and I was just to say, I think the reason people give 1 and 2 a pass is because it was always pegged as a trilogy. So you always kind of, you always figured that everything you would do would pay out in the third game finally. And that's kind of, you know, it's kind of, it's what you do in middle in trilogies. It's why people give, not as much, but Matrix Reloaded kind of gets a pass because it has a to-be-continued ending. Or Deathly Hallows Part 1, or...
Halo 2.
Well, that was just a terrible ending,
well,
but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you give those passes because you always assume that it's going to be paid out by the end. And from what it sounds like your decisions in the first two games, as far as I know, there are three things that affect the ending. It's what you did at the end of part two, it's what you do right before the end of part three, and it's what your readiness is. And I think if
it,
you pick a
not
certain color...
It's not for me, because I still had all three decisions to me available.
So there's that. Yes, going back to this, I don't have any issues with people starting petitions. I find it weird that this is an issue now. When people did it with the Uncharted 3 aiming, it was fine. When people did it with Operation Rainfall, it was fine. But this, if fans petitions now, is a bad idea.
I mean, these are completely different things. You can't just...
Well, I would say, if anything, the Uncharted 3 thing would be a bigger issue than the story, because Uncharted 3 would fundamentally
change
the core
gameplay. That was a broken gameplay mechanic. That's completely different than rewriting the story.
I don't think it was a broken
gameplay
mechanic. I beat the game with no issue. I don't think it was broken.
I mean, that's what the petition said.
But that's my point. It's like, if people think this ending is broken, they have every right to petition for a change. And I think this goes back to how...
Not to mention, and
I don't know,
should
I go petition the NFL that the Super Bowl didn't turn out the way I wanted? Like, this, no.
That's completely different, though.
Should I go petition J.R.R. Tolkien's grave that Frodo rode off into the distance at the end just because I didn't like it?
Spoiler!
And now, but, yeah... I see no reason why you couldn't. I see no reason why you shouldn't. But granted, you probably won't get any support for it. But if you have an issue with it, why not? It's the only way you can communicate as a gamer if you've already bought the game.
There's a difference between communicating and saying, this isn't what I want. I want you to change it because I want something else other than what you gave me.
You know
which is where the entitled thing comes from, and I'm not saying whether I agree with the entitled label or not, because I believe it's thrown around a lot and misused most of the time, but that's...
They got coverage on almost every major website. BioWare's aware of their movement. That means it was effective, and that works. Instead of having like five or six people on this forum on this site talking about it, you had a collective movement. BioWare's aware of it. They got coverage on all the major sites.
For a stupid goal.
I don't think it's a stupid goal.
I think it is.
I mean,
I think it is, and I think it doesn't matter if it's video games or movies or any kind of medium.
If I write a book or if I make a movie, I'm going to end it exactly the way that I want to. And whose right is it to say how you should end something that you've created other than the creator?
Okay, but I don't see, well, if you finish your book and your fans come out and say, this is how we hated this ending, we want something different.
It's not just that they're complaining, it's the way that they complain.
How? They've started a petition.
And they donated money to charity.
They've also filed an FTC claim. They've also...
That's one dude. It's one guy, and I pointed out, I think that's stupid because that wastes resources. That isn't BioWare. It goes beyond that. I think that's stupid. But the petition itself and that movement were like BioWare, we had an issue with this ending. We want, you know, we want to come to the table. They're not telling them like, okay, this is what we want for an ending. We just want a different ending.
What gives them the right to demand that?
They bought the game.
Exactly. They bought the game. By entering into the relationship where you purchase an artistic thing from someone else, you're assuming the risk that things are going to happen in that narrative that you're not going to enjoy.
And you have a right to complain about it.
Yes, but not to petition them to change it.
Why not?
They can do whatever they want. I'm well. They can do whatever they want. They can do a petition. If BioWare reacts on it, that's a whole other thing.
That's the issue. If BioWare, if they succumb to this pressure and change it, then you might have a point. Like, then it becomes a different issue. But saying that they shouldn't petition or they shouldn't demand them to change it,
because
I don't see why it's any basis.
The petition implicitly says, we think that our opinions are more important than your opinions as the creator of this work.
And
which
I'm
is
okay
ridiculous
with,
on the face of it.
I don't think it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that they should. I mean, again, it depends on what BioWare does with it. I don't think there's any issue with the fans saying, like, we don't like this. We think we have a better opinion than you. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
But they have,
people talk about what they like or don't like about things all the time. That's legitimate. That's any time you're dealing with art, you're going to have disagreements. But if I think the ending of something's stupid, I'm not going to go to the person who made it and say, I want you to change this.
Why not?
Because it's artistic expression. The
but
reason why the reason why everyone has enjoyed Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 up until the last 30 seconds or whatever it was because the
like
people who wrote that story were doing what they wanted to do, the way they wanted to do it. They were, whatever they had in their minds, they were projected. So to say,
yeah,
we're fine with all of this, but we don't like this one thing you did? No, because we only got where we are now by them having the freedom to do whatever they wanted with their own story.
No, they only got this far because they had fans supporting them, people who wanted to see their vision come through.
Because of their vision.
And they had an issue with the endgame. I don't see why that's so wrong for them to say, you know what, we went on this long journey with you, we didn't like the payoff.
But it's
say
not.
That.
They're not just saying that, though. That's the thing.
Like, say
they're
you
not
don't
just
like
saying
it.
That.
Express
they're
your
saying
discontent.
They're
that's
demanding
fair.
Change. Like,
and I don't see why that's so wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean that BioWare is going to do it. It just means that, okay, you know what? We want something different. You have every right to voice your opinion. The First Amendment in this country is freedom of speech. And if you say, I don't like this ending, I want something different, there's nothing wrong with that in my book.
I mean, legally,
it's
no,
bitchy.
But
it's bitchy. It's complaining.
Call it whatever you want. Whiny, complainy.
It's both those things.
Infantile. Whatever
it's
you want.
Too.
They have every right to do it. And they're doing it. I have no problem with them doing it.
I'm not trying to take away the right to demand a change.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's foolish and unnecessary. And anyone who does it should, quite frankly, be just a little bit ashamed.
And I would say, maybe foolish. Maybe it's infantile. Whatever. It's not. It's not. It's they're getting noticed. BioWare's responding to it, so it's getting them somewhere. And ultimately, I think that's what they care about, not whether or not people accept what they're doing.
So, in other Mass Effect news, there was a Mass Effect first-person shooter at some point,
which I think they said turned out to be folded that back in, and that turned out to be the horde mode in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, kind of. They changed it into that. But it's still kind of interesting that they thought making it for first-person shooter in the Mass Effect universe was a good idea.
Well, I mean, I don't see it as
it looked,
a bad
the prototype
idea.
Looked really good, actually, and they even had some, like, vehicles in there. They said they were kind of shooting for, like, a Battlefield kind of feel.
I was going to say, if anything, it felt more like Halo because it had a bunch of alien weapons.
Well,
and stuff.
They said between Battlefield and something else. I forget what the other game was.
But that's the thing for me is, do people come to Mass Effect for the shooting? Really?
No, but I think if you had it where it kind of expands the universe, like maybe like have a more personal war that's taking place during one of the games.
Well, it's like the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3, like.
But, I mean, that's what it became. So.
Well, right, but it's the same kind of idea where it just I mean, no, you don't go to Mass Effect specifically for the shooting, but the combat is still fun, and if you can do it in a way that extends your game, you know, I mean, it's not as appealing as the actual, you know, story mode and stuff, but it's, you know,
they've implemented
a good progression system in it.
Yeah, I think the Mass Effect universe itself, if it, you know, passes through this controversy, has a lot of potential to expand its universe in different genres. Just because the world and the universe they created is so rich. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to call it the greatest sci-fi universe of our generation, but
some people would. Do.
I don't know that many people that would now.
I would not have called it.
Listen, Star Wars is
before Mass Effect 3, so whatever.
Like I said, and my main reason for quality or not is that the Mass Effect universe isn't a universe that a lot of people know. And I don't think you can be the most important sci-fi universe of this generation when half the world doesn't know you exist. Most people grow up on Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff like that. And I mean, Doctor Who's been around for, 100 years now? I guess 50. And it's not considered a huge sci-fi universe, even though it's one of the greatest, longest-running shows of all time. And I think just because the audience is kind of niche.
Yep.
I mean, I don't agree with that.
It's tragically underrated. More people need to watch that.
But Doctor Who?
Yeah, so good.
Yes, I agree. It's a great show, but it is what it is. It has a kiddie appeal to it, or it did. So yes, there's that. Anything else we missed?
About Mass Effect?
Oh, about in general. We don't have to talk about Mass Effect 3 anymore. No, that does remind me at some point, I don't know when you folks are going to organize it. I think Jason and Martin, and they'll probably find somebody else, are going to have a Mass Effect 3 spoiler cast.
I think we're going to get Gleeboff back on here, actually.
Yes, and you folks can do that. I don't want to be any part of it since I haven't paid. And I still do want to keep the story intact for myself. Which I'm actually kind of happy about. It hasn't been spoiled for me covering following it at home. Same with Mass Effect 3, so there's that.
Yeah, it hasn't been spoiled for me either. Were it a game I actually cared about and didn't want to be spoiled, I'd know everything about it, regardless of whether I wanted to or not. But since I don't care, nothing.
I mean, maybe it's me, and maybe it's because it's the stuff I watch, I usually see live, but I've never had anything I filed spoiled for me, where I always see people saying, like, this was spoiled for me right away, and I'm like, I guess you just have asses around you. I would say Twitter kind of has that effect because they've been spoiling Walking Dead left and right these past 2 weeks. But that's another subject. I guess to finish up our Mass Effect 3 talk, since we had Martin's opinion last week, Jason's beat this and he's also beat Infiltrated. So,
mm-hmm. You want me to just talk about it? I put up my review of Infiltrator on the website and it's very like hit and miss. Like it, on one level, it is really fun at times, and it does capture the whole Mass Effect combat really well. But at the end of the day, the touchscreen controls are its own undoing, and it lacks really any sort of story, which for a Mass Effect game is kind of the point. As for 3, we kind of went over its ending already, and how I have issues with my ending, even though I'm not signing a ridiculous petition or any such actions that's similar. But yeah, the ending, I think they dropped the ball is the best way to put it. They just, I would have liked a more varied ending, and I would have liked some things to be different. I did think that some parts of the ending were interesting, but then weren't explored as much as they should have been. And that's about as vague as I'll be. And the 99% part of the game before that is probably the best game I've ever played as far as story and writing and stuff like that. So
it's always weird when you don't mention gameplay.
The gameplay is fantastic, and it's definitely, I mean, all around, I don't know, I'm still in like the kind of honeymoon period where I'm like reflecting on it, but I was just in awe of what they were doing on all fronts the entire time, from, you know, story to the gameplay to the music, like, just, it was amazing.
I enjoyed it very much as well, for most of the time, except for the ending. But I mentioned last week, and what do you think? I hated the scanning.
The scanning, see, I wasn't sure what to think, because I also wasn't sure what to think about Mass Effect 2 scanning, because...
It was awful.
Well, it was awful and a little mind-numbing, but at the same time, I don't know, it had this weird... Like, I still found myself doing it all the time.
Yeah, it was
just
something you did.
It was tedious, and it was not a fun part of the game.
But it was like my guilty pleasure. I don't know. So, but I was. It was okay that it was toned down to me. I thought it was all right.
It was toned down, and I still did not like it. I think it would be an even better game without it.
You mean you would rather just have them take it out altogether?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, because I think you can completely ignore it if you want to.
Yeah, they should have like a Mass Effect spinoff, which is just a mining mini game.
Yeah, I mean, in 3, it's really minimal. You can easily just ignore it and never do it once the entire game if you want. So I don't see that. There's no problem in there for me.
I think my problem in it, this is going off from what Martin said last week, is the fact that you are the Reapers, and when they show up, you can't actually engage them in battle. Which I think is a missed opportunity.
You have to run away.
Yeah, I think that's a missed opportunity. Possibly battles.
You fight a lot of Reapers during the game, and, you know, just the Normandy going against one just wouldn't happen. It takes too much.
Sounds like the Normandy would just get destroyed.
Yeah, the Normandy would... You have to run, I mean.
It'd be fun if they had you upgrade your ship and actually did ship battle at some point. Because you do upgrade it for the end of Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
I kind of was missing the, hover tank segments. They did it in DLC for Mass Effect 2. Free DLC.
Really?
It's not really missing it that much, but I thought it was a different wrinkle, like something different to mix up the gameplay more. But
I'm actually fine that they focused on just the third person stuff and made it work.
Okay. Okay, so that brings us to our question of the week. And I think the next couple of them are dealing with genres and video games and stuff like that. But this week's question is, what is a video game genre you wish you were better at, and why?
Strategy games.
Good at all the genres.
You're good at all the genres. So we have somebody who's really humble here. So Daniel said strategy games. Why is that?
Because I kind of want to play StarCraft. A little
don't
bit.
Chat hit at.
Sort of.
Yeah, I think RTS.
I really like watching StarCraft, and it's a game that I actually really, really want to play, but I just can't, because I can't play strategy games.
Have you tried, more beginner-type strategy games?
Yeah, and I can't play them either.
Well, with StarCraft, it's all with the league system and everything. No matter what level you are, you're always playing against people who are your equal level, so...
Well, and also it required me to go out and buy StarCraft 2, and it's still 35 quid, and I'm not paying 35 quid for a year.
Well, maybe
and a half
it went harder
to get one
cooked out or something.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Chad?
RTS.
You wish you were better at RTS?
Yes.
He wants to be Platinum League!
I would love to be a fucking pro StarCraft player. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I wish I was better at RTS for sure.
Okay. That was not the answer.
Dude, there are pro StarCraft players that make 7-figure salaries.
Fair enough, but I mean, you spend hours a week playing StarCraft. And
I know.
I guess
that's why I want to be better at it.
Then at least he could spend hours a week at StarCraft and justify it by he's working to make more money.
Why would I want to be better at a genre like fighters that I never play? Like, no.
Because maybe you
obviously
want to get into
the one genre that I play more than any.
Or maybe a platform between your and there's a run button. Martin.
I would say fighting games. I love fighting games a lot, but I always hit my ceiling quite early. So, well, I think I'm average at them, but I would like to be a lot better than that.
Jason, have you come for an answer, or are you still saying you're great at all of them?
I was just being facetious.
I know.
I think for me, fighting games too, because they're really. I mean, I was also either RTS or fighting. Like they're both interesting, but I'm not that great at either. And yeah, once you hit your ceiling, and then it's just like, okay, well, I can't play with these guys.
And I'm just going to say those same two as well. Fighting, because I do have fighting games, especially the Capcom ones. And the Capcom ones are the hardest ones for me to learn. Like, Mortal Kombat, you can get pretty decent at, because most people have
They're so
combat.
Hard, because they're so fast.
Yeah, and it's not even, like, I'm only learning, like, the basics of offense. And then you have people who have, like, the defense and the timing and the hit window and all this other stuff, and that's just way too much. Dead or Alive, Soul Calibur, all of that stuff. I was going to say strategy
Dead or
games,
Alive and Soul Calibur are the first two examples that pop to your mind.
Well, I said Street Fighter. I said,
of fighting
that
games.
Was my, I said Street Fighter first.
Okay.
I was going to say strategy games, but honestly, the only reason I want to learn strategy games, or how to do it well, is so I could play Valkyrian Chronicles on the PS3.
Oh, that's not even a strategy.
It's not. It's more like a turn-based strategy game. It's more like, I guess, Advance Wars. And I want to play that too.
That game's really easy. You can probably handle it.
Yeah, not so much like the StarCraft. And I've never really been interested in that genre. But turn-based strategy games, I kind of wanted to improve at. Granted, I don't know if I'm awful at them. I just don't play them. I don't have the patience. So, yeah, I think that will do it for us this week.
It's such a time investment.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing with fighting games. I mean, I'm sure if we speak to Adrian...
fighting games are huge. I mean, I would meant both of them are.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like if you play it 5 minutes at a time, you're not going to get good at it. And that's the thing is with me, I just don't... I've never really focused on one game at a time. It's always been a terrible habit. But I like to sample everything that's out there. There's so many games that come out. So it is that.
I'm in the opposite problem where every time a new game
comes out, you have to debate if it's worth foregoing StarCraft 2 for.
Yeah, well, it comes. I always intend to play every game that I bought, and then StarCraft's playing. How'd that happen? Shit.
I can't stick with anything for too long. I just need always something different.
Yeah, there's just so many games and genres out there. Like, I had no interest in it, and all of a sudden I need Kid Icarus this week, which is sad because I want to get Mass Effect 3 as my next game, but I still have beef with EA over that, and I'm waiting until it's decently priced.
You can't wait to spend extra money to get the stand.
I thought the stand was free.
The game costs more in general.
No, it does. It costs $40.
Last time I read, it cost more.
It's $40 on Amazon.
Maybe in Europe. Everything costs more in
Europe.
Maybe Nintendo. Maybe they're ripping you off. But it's $40 here. It comes with a stand. I don't know why. It's the one thing I wouldn't add to a handheld. But yes. I need more Nintendo plastic accessories. I don't have enough of them between my bongos, my Mario Kart mic, my wheel, my zapper, and all this other junk they sold me this generation.
I never cared about Kid Icarus because it looks like it's unplayable as a left-handed person.
I've heard, everybody seems to say it works well with left hand. If you really need, they have the Circle Pad Pro option. I don't, you know, I know it kind of sucks that I don't know, but I've heard a lot of issues with left-handed this generation. Especially as far as Nintendo's concerned, because they've been really kind of asymmetrical with the controllers. But yes, that will do it for our intergalactic podcast. So for Chad, Daniel, Martin, Jason, and myself, this has been Do Wilden episode 62.